Let's go ahead and we're going to jump right on in this evening to our sermon, okay, to the Word of God. And take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse number 17 to verse number 19. We're going to begin to face a new giant tonight. And we dealt with the giant of fear. And tonight we're moving on to another giant that we all tend to face. Well, I say tend, we all are guaranteed to face. We deal with this giant on a regular basis if we're not careful. And that is the giant of pride. The giant of pride. And lest you think that you've got pride whipped, hold on. I'll make you double think that idea here in just a moment. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17, and down to verse number 19. It says this: "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." Pride, now get this, just prior to this next well-known verse, verse number 17 is dealing with the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. And going right out of that, straight on into this thought. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So verse number 17 talks very clearly about the way we choose to go. And verse number 18 points out that the way of pride is going to lead to destruction. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse number 19 says this: "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Now you look at those verses right there, and we're given some great wisdom from Proverbs dealing with pride, and also the alluding to or the slight touching of the idea of the opposite of pride, which is humility. And so it doesn't go into great deal concerning humility, but it does tell us that it is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And so we're going to look at starting. Now, again, this is just starting. I can guarantee you it's going to be at least three Wednesdays. And so let's see how far we get into the introduction this evening dealing with pride. My goal is to get the entire introduction with pride, but it is it's two pages long, so hopefully I can get the whole introduction done. We'll see what happens. But let's pray and we'll look at this. Heavenly Father, we need your help. I pray that you'd open our eyes to the reality and the truth of the fact that we deal with pride on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the error, see the struggle that is real in our lives. And I pray that you would also, Lord, through this, help us to be able to identify this giant on a regular basis as he, Lord, pops his head up, as his pride becomes, Lord, something that we face. As soon as we see it, I pray that we would recognize it, Lord, and learn through what we're looking at how to deal with pride before pride deals with us harshly. And I pray that you would just, Lord, teach us what we need to know this evening. And we'll trust you for it and give you the honor and glory for what is done in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we begin to address this giant of pride, the question we must ask ourselves is not, does this giant exist in my life? This is not one of those things where we're stepping forward and saying, okay, now ask yourself, do you deal with pride? No. As we start this off, we rather should look at ourselves and say, where does this giant exist in my life? Because there's not a single person here that is not dealing with the giant of pride at some point throughout our life. Now, as with everything in the life of a child of God, we must ask ourselves how God himself views pride. And the answer comes very easily in the light and revealing of Proverbs chapter 6. Now, you don't turn there. I'll have you turn to some scriptures here in just a minute. But Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17 tells us this. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now watch. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now I'm going to stop right there, verse number 17. Why? It goes on to finish the list. But why we stop right there is simple. The very first thing on that list is pride. The first thing, six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination unto him. The first thing listed that God hates is pride. That proud look. Of all things in the universe and of all the sins upon the earth, God chose a list and put that pride at the top as the first thing that he hates. Pride is the antithesis of what a child of God should be when we are following the Lord and what we should be clothed in. Listen, of all the things that we should be covered in, pride is not it. Pride is the exact opposite of what we are pointing to, and we'll see here as we go through all of this. We know it's kind of an automatic. It's humility. Humility is what we should be clothed in, and yet pride oftentimes is the coat that we decide to put on as a human being. Go on in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5 tells us this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea. And now that's not just talking about younger dealing with age groups and stuff, though that is very much important. It also deals with spiritual areas too. Ye that are younger as a Christian, you're not as mature. You ought to be listening to those who are older in maturity in the Word of God. And as they got wisdom, you ought to be willing to hear wisdom. Well, I've been saved. I've been reading my Bible for 3 weeks. I've got it figured out. I don't need any help. Foolish, okay? You should listen to the wisdom of those who have walked with God much longer as you are trying to learn how to walk with the Lord. And so it goes on. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God, now get this. And here's where a lot of people messed up and they wonder, why does God seem to be fighting against everything I want to do? God resisteth the proud. Well, that doesn't seem like something that's often said through, if you look at social media posts and all the different encouraging words that everybody's, it's all flowers and roses and, you know, and everything's so wonderful. And listen, I'm not against the positives. You need to have the positives, but we also have to understand that there are some things that God resists. There are some things, just because you call yourself a Christian, just because I call myself a Christian, just because I look good on a social media post, doesn't mean God is pleased with what I'm doing. And there are times when what I am doing is not what I claim it to be. There are times that it's actually a basis of pride is why I'm doing what I'm doing, and then I wonder why God doesn't bless it. Because God resisteth the proud. But then goes on to say, but giveth grace to the humble. And so humility is what we should be clothed in, not pride. Philippians 2:8. Now, we're laying again. This is introduction, and I've got a lot more to go. But introduction, I'm laying a foundation for this giant of pride and how it's not a matter of do we, it's a matter of where do we fight this giant. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, this is an example Christ set for us. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What is one thing that Almighty, eternal God is already victorious over? Well, that's death. And yet Jesus, as God in the flesh, was willing to humble himself and became obedient unto death. You realize, had he not humbled himself, and had at any point he said, you know what, I don't have to do this, I'm God. Had he done that at any point, he would have refused obedience to death, which would have been obedience to the Father, and we would have been left without hope. But he set the example. Christ himself set the example of the ultimate reflection of humility by humbling himself to the point of death. Listen, anybody that goes through what Christ went through even prior to the cross, you have to admit there's a lot of humility. He was willing to face it with humility, and he was humbled, degraded by mankind even far beyond his own willingness to be humbled. Just think about what he went through, and most of us would resist it just at the thought of it. But he was obedient. He humbled himself. And because of that, set the example and also gave us hope. Now, when you get down to it, we don't really hear much about humility in today's time frame. But we see a whole bunch of glorification when it comes to self. There's a lot of things that we're taught. Just watch commercials. Watch any kind of TV. Watch them when they're trying to sell you something. They're gonna bring about self-image, self-esteem, self-reliance, self-determination. Every bit of it's going to be based around self, self, self. That is our world today, especially even more than it has been in the past. We are surrounded by self. I'll give you a very quick example. Not really a rabbit I'm chasing, because I'm going to get done with it quickly, okay? But a very quick example, and I want to grab the sun, so I want to step up in front of the block here. But there's all these stimulus packages coming out right now. Now, we already got one. We saw the bank notified it. We had one come in. Well, praise God. I'm thankful for it. You know, he knows we've got some areas that we could use it. That's great. But here's the thing. If I didn't get one, I would simply tell you I didn't need one. Now, I know there are people who could really use it, the people that could need it, but can I also say there are folks who have no need whatsoever for a stimulus package. They have no need whatsoever for extra money. They didn't lose their job. They've been working like crazy. They've been selling things like crazy. They're actually making a profit off of all this, not to be a help to anybody, just to make some extra money. And then on top of that, they're going to get this. And boy, they're out there getting every possible dime they can. There are people, I guarantee, there are people who have filed for unemployment when honestly they had no reason to be unemployed. But why not? But since they said you don't have to get fired from your job, you don't have to be let go, you can quit because of COVID-19 and file for unemployment. That's what they did. I guarantee you there are some folks that stopped their job to go file for unemployment so they can do nothing, get paid for it, and then they get a stimulus check. Money, 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 give me, give me, more, more, more. When there are people who definitely need the help. And I'm glad that many folks are going to be able to get that. But we live in such a selfish world. The mentality is today, and we are taught on a regular basis, you get yours. You get as much as you can. You take all you can. Take advantage of every opportunity you can. And get it, get it, get it. Don't let it slip through your fingers. If you can work the system, work the system. You deserve it. That is exactly how we're taught today. Take advantage of everything and everyone. As long as you're on top, you're okay. So we have to watch out. Because we're bombarded with these ideas constantly. And it literally is the idea of get all you can all you get, sit on the can and spoil the rest. As long as I've got mine, I'm okay with it. Now, listen, number one, that is pride. Number two, that is the selfishness that our self-centered world generates and is promoting. And listen, our young people today growing up in this world, they are being taught more about self than they are about anything else. And we wonder why pride and arrogance and me first is prevailing in society. It's killing us on a daily basis. Well, the presence of God, now watch, we're going to switch gears a little bit. The presence of God cannot abide with our pride. And it is only in the presence of God that we can experience true humility. You cannot experience humility without the presence of God in your life. Why? Because if God's not present, then self is. And when self is prevailing and present in your life, then self will produce an automatic prideful mentality and boastful ideas. John 15:4, the Lord tells us this: abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, well, that'll ruin the whole I'm self-sustaining. As a child of God, you can't be. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Most of the time, if not all of the time, our pride issue is coming from a lack of walking and fellowshipping and being in Christ as we should. If we are abiding in Him, pride will not be present. Let me give you a little bit of example there. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I used this just the other day in talking with someone, but as I was looking at all this and going through, I couldn't help but just notice, and I'm like, you know what, that's exactly where we need to go as an example. If I can find Isaiah, there it is. Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse number 1, I'm going to read what happened to Isaiah. Now, you understand, prior to all of this, Isaiah was a man of God. He was the preacher. He was the director. Uzziah the king sought his counsel before doing anything. The people listened to his words before doing anything. Isaiah was the man of God. He was listened to. He was lifted up. And unfortunately, he lifted himself up as well in his own eyes. You say, how do you know that? Because of what we find that happens when Isaiah sees and meets the Lord face to face. Isaiah finds himself where he is in his mentality and where he ought to be. Look at this. Isaiah 6, verse number 1, down to verse, we're going to read down to verse number 5. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now watch. As soon as Uzziah dies, which is a little bit of a comfort zone for Isaiah, as soon as that happens, now you have Isaiah seeing the Lord. And you see the description, all of a sudden he begins to get very detailed as to what he has witnessed. Why? Because it impacted his life. When he saw God, it made a difference. And he goes on to say, verse number 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, he's given all of that description. It is literally a shock and awe moment for Isaiah. And when he sees God, look at this. Then he describes himself. The first time in the book of Isaiah that you see Isaiah describe himself in reality. He says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah shows and reveals what his problem has been. When he sees the Lord, he then looks at himself in relationship to the one that he's finally seeing the right way for the first time. Instead of his idea of God, he sees God's description of who he is. And he sees all that's happening before the Lord, and all the crying, the holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah says, woe is me. I'm undone. Why does he have to say that? Because I believe prior to this, he's saying, oh man, if people could just understand how good I am. I'm a man of God. I speak and you should listen. I got that idea that though he may not say that, he's kind of like us. He may not say it, but I guarantee you, he had an idea in his heart that he was the speaker for God Almighty. The king listens to what Isaiah has to say. And the king does not do with the people until God speaks to him. And so, I believe Isaiah had a problem. And I believe Isaiah had to reach a point when he saw God, when he found himself in the presence of Jehovah God, Isaiah all of a sudden realized, I'm nothing. I thought I was something. I thought I had something worth to say. I thought I had good things to tell people. But I'm a man of unclean lips. I thought I was above all these lowlifes. But I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, just like me. I'm just like them. And Isaiah says, all of that comes because I finally see the Lord of hosts. And I see how high and lifted up he is. And I see how awful and pathetic I am. Isaiah reached a point of great humility when he stood before and saw who God was. Let me hit a couple more things and we're going to stop. All right? As we look at this, understanding that we're no better than Isaiah, we don't need to make the mistake of asking ourselves, do I struggle with pride? Because when you ask yourself if you struggle with pride, pride itself will answer you with a, no, you don't. No, you're good. You're probably the humblest person I know. So meek, so quiet, so thoughtful. You're not proud. Listen, when we ask ourselves, is there a struggle? Oftentimes, pride itself will want to say no. But the best thing is to go to the Word of God and say, Lord, will you reveal in me? Reveal it. Search me, O God. Reveal unto me these areas in which I need to work. Hey, Lord, show me where this giant is hiding. And I say hiding because we all deal with the illusion that we're okay. The very areas we struggle with the most, the very areas we think we've got it handled, we're okay. Pride is a sneaky giant. He's got a cloak of invisibility that oftentimes we allow him to convince us that he doesn't exist. A better way for us to be honest with ourselves would be to ask the question, am I clothed with humility the way I should be? Do that investigation and ouch, that's going to hurt. Look at how you responded to somebody and ask yourself, was that a clothing of humility? Look at how you want to react to certain situations and ask yourself, is that humility? Look at how you view the job that you got. Now listen, we're talking about pride, but I'm not saying that there's not a time, and it's not. I'm not saying it's not okay to be glad about a job you've done or to finish something and be, as we say, proud that you finished the job. There's a whole different thing in that kind of proud. That's looking at an accomplishment. That's not the, well, or aren't I something yet? Now then it would be wrong, okay? Or going around saying, hey, you see, hey, did you, oh, hey, what do you think? You're not doing a good job. Every single one of us at times, maybe not to that degree, maybe not to that exaggeration, but every single one of us at times will fish for people's approval. Every one of us at times, we want to hear a good job. Every now and then, we all want to have a pat on the back. And when we don't get it, sometimes we go helping people to feel like I need one. We all do it, and shame on all of us. Pride has to have recognition. Humility just does what I do because it's what I ought to do. Not that it's not good to be appreciated, but I don't have to have appreciation to do what's right. I don't have to have appreciation to be what I ought to be. I don't have to have appreciation to do what I ought to be doing, especially for the Lord and for His people. I'll give you these. Well, you know what? We're going to go to Luke 18 starting next week. We're going to leave that alone because that's a little bit further of a deeper thing, all right? So we're now moving on to 4 weeks because I didn't get this done in one. But we got halfway through. We're dealing with this giant of pride. It's a big giant. He is right now. I will guarantee you, everyone here and watching online, every single one of us has a giant of pride somewhere in your life right this minute. And if you think you don't, there's your biggest problem. Because pride exists. We fight them on a daily basis. And there is some area in every single person's life where pride is trying to get a foothold on their life. That giant has got to be defeated. He's got to be recognized and knocked down every time he pops up his ugly little head. And we'll deal with him some more here in just a couple of weeks, okay? We'll deal with it, Lord willing, next Wednesday, and then moving on beyond that.